Just engage your heart with him for a moment this morning. God, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we honor you. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness, your kindness, your goodness, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your protection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're with me, God. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Jesus, thank you that you rejoice over me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just keep going. Just tell him. It says in Psalms that he inhabits the praises of his people, and that word is tehillah. It's the spontaneous worship, the spontaneous praise. It's the overflow of your heart. He loves it. We worship you. So we honor you. We welcome you here. The mention of your name. Darkness flees. And in the name of Jesus, every sickness must bow. Thank you, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, why don't you just say this with me? Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me. I invite you to come and to speak to me, to have your way in my heart and in my life today. God, I don't want to leave here the same. And I know that one moment with you and I'm changed. So please come. Take everything out of me that's not of you and fill me. Fill me with your grace, fill me with your peace, and fill me with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Glenn, this mic is really hot, and I feel like I'm going to make it scream if I move. I can even talk loud without it if I need to, but I'm holding it way down here and it's... I have a question for you this morning. If you're a Christian, what happened to you? No, seriously. If you're a Christian, what happened to you? Who are you? And whose are you? Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? Are you confused? Some of you are giving me a really funny look. Can you? I'm scared of this thing screaming. All right, are we good? No, we're not good. It says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has come. So when you invite Jesus into your life, Oh, there we go. It's there a little bit. When you invite Jesus into your life, you become a new person. Actually, your whole identity changes. Did you know that? Jill, did you bring my license or no? And so we have actually new DNA that's put in us, and we are adopted into God's family. And the Bible has a whole bunch of promises. The Bible says that that we are now his beloved. It says that we are adopted into his family, that we become his children, that we become heirs to the throne, that we are seen as the righteousness of God, which means that God sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the mercy and his mercy and his grace. And so our nature is actually changed, and our nature becomes more like him. You guys with me? We okay? So the Bible says that we're actually become a royal priesthood. We have a new identity, and we also have a role to play, and that is to honor God and to worship him and be an ambassador of Christ with everything that we do and everything that we say, because we belong to him. Amen? You guys are quiet. So we were referred to as a sinner, and then we invite Jesus into our life, and we become referred to as a saint. There is a change that happens. And the Bible says that we literally take on his nature as Jesus comes. And, he gave his life for you and I so that we could be completely forgiven, completely set free, and have the opportunity to actually walk in relationship to know God intimately. We couldn't do that if our sin was still there. But Jesus is able to come and to cover that and to actually remove that and to pour into us, make us a new creation. And so as a Christian, we have a hope that cannot be shaken. We have a peace that isn't taken away in the middle of a storm. And we have a joy that makes sense to nobody. But it's true. I mean, honestly, if you've ever had one encounter with God's love, if you've ever had one of those moments where the light bulb goes and you realize, whoa, God loves me and he cares for me. Or you experience that peace that shouldn't really be in there, but you just got peace. And you experience that joy, it's life-changing. But that's why we love him. That's why we follow him. It's because he is transforming us from the inside out. As we pursue him, as we lay our life down, as we surrender our heart to him, he changes us, he fills us, he transforms us, and it allows us to be who we're actually created to be all through life, no matter what we face. Amen? The fact is today that you are perfectly and purely loved by God, and there is nothing that can change that. No matter even how hard we try, you can't do anything to make God love you more, and you can't do anything to make him love you less. You can't earn God's love. You can't earn his salvation. It's a free gift that not a single one of us deserve, but he gives it anyway because he loves us. Tell your neighbor he loves you. You guys don't sound convinced. Tell your other neighbor like you really mean it. Listen, people around us all through our life will throw labels at us. They will call us names. They will say things. Sometimes intentionally, lots of times totally unintentionally. But they will say things like, well, you're dumb. You'll never make it. You're a fool. You're never going to measure up to that. Ah, you could never be a doctor. Oh, you could, you ever heard that? And if we're not careful, we actually take those labels on and believe them and make them part of our life. It's like we actually have faith in the fact that when someone says that you're a fool or you're stupid or you'll never be able to do that, we actually believe it and it becomes part of our life and it actually limits us. You've ever heard that phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Well, actually, names will destroy your future if you allow them to take root in you. And so the people, even well-meaning people many times have said things, and we have to be careful because we will take on things that direct our destiny if we have faith in them. Did you know that what God says over you today? He says that you're amazing. Do you ever get sick of being told you're amazing? Only a couple of you, the rest of you don't mind. Do you know you're amazing? Honestly, do you know that God says, I created you, I formed you, and I love you, and you actually are amazing? Well, I feel pretty amazing. I don't know about some of you guys today aren't convinced yet. Why don't you just tell yourself? Maybe you need to tell yourself today, I'm amazing because God made me amazing. Yeah. Maybe sometimes we need to remind ourselves, I mean, I'm there too some days. We have to look in the mirror maybe and just tell ourselves, you're amazing. God made you amazing. Hey, guess what? You're amazing today. And the next day, hey, guess what? You're amazing. I tell my kids all the time that I love them and I'm proud of them. And now all I have to do is say to one of them, hey, guess what? And they're like, yeah, Dad, yeah, we know I'm amazing and I'm awesome. You know, they know what's coming. But I don't ever want them to not know it. And so I tell them every day. And I really believe that God is saying that to us every day too. And many times we just don't realize it. And we don't hear it. And maybe we don't believe it sometimes. The fact is, though, is that you're beautiful, you're precious in His sight, you're strong, you're incredible, and you're so valuable to Him that He was literally willing to give Jesus His only Son for you. You are incredibly valuable to Him. Our worth does not come from what someone else says, what someone else labels us. It doesn't come from our bank account. What we do for a living cannot be what defines us, who we hang out with or what we accomplish. Listen, if we base our value and our worth on what someone else says or what someone else does or our gifts or our talents, there'll always be somebody that's just a little bit better. And you'll have to always be trying just that little bit harder to find significance, and you'll never get there. There's always somebody that's more creative. There's always somebody that's more talented. There's always somebody that's built something cooler. Somebody's always got a bigger boat, a fancier car. Like, it goes on and on and on. Have you ever felt that way? Our worth comes from our Creator. Our value comes from our Creator. You with me? God, the Bible says that God is pleased with us. He's actually rejoicing over us. And one of the main reasons is we are actually made in His image, we're made in His likeness, and so we reflect Him. We reflect the goodness of God, we reflect His characteristics, His attributes, in how we're made. The Bible says in Genesis that we're made in His likeness, His image. I've said this many times before, but that root word of that comes from imagination. Basically, God imagined what an amazing person would be like. Personality, character, looks, everything, and boop, made you. It was like, and then He's like, I did good, you know? And He thinks you're amazing. But it's because we reflect Him. It's because we reflect who He is. We are called to live in a way that reflects the goodness and the glory of God. We have the ability to create. We have the ability to, like, we've been given authority from heaven by Jesus to go and do the works of Jesus by making disciples of nations, simply by the way that we live, by the way that we act, by the way that we talk, and by what we believe. We are citizens of heaven. If you are a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus, you literally are a citizen of heaven and you belong to Him. You belong to the King of Kings. And I really believe that many times we fail to remind ourselves that we just think, oh, just struggling along, trying to get through life. I'm on my own out here. And it's like, no, we need to remember that God says, again, I'm amazing. And I've called you to love people and to reach people and to reflect my goodness everywhere you go. And if we keep that in mind, it changes the way we live. So I forgot to bring my driver's license this morning, but we all have a piece of ID that says whether it's a birth certificate, a passport, driver's license, that says, well, if you live in this country, you're a citizen of this country, it says you belong here, right? And it basically says that as a Canadian citizen, I have certain rights and privileges because I belong to this country. I belong. So this government will provide education and health care and welfare and all those kinds of things because I am a Canadian citizen. I can go anywhere in this country because I'm a Canadian citizen. Right? As a citizen of heaven, when you become a Christian, God says He gives us everything that we need to live for Him, to accomplish all that He calls us to. His power, His healing, His wholeness, His joy, His peace, the fruit of the Spirit, it's all available to your neighbor and you. All of us. We have everything that we need. It's actually available. We have the choice to live in the fullness of it all or to just say, well, yeah, I invited Jesus into my life and I'm saved, but that's it. But you have access to everything. Everything. Are you guys convinced? Okay, good. So I have four phrases today that we're going to go through, and I'm going to try and help you remember this. But four phrases that just to describe what it means to live like this and what's happened to us. So number one is we just need to know it. Okay, and I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I've just said. But you are an heir to heaven. You're an heir to the throne. You're loved. You're valuable. You're precious in His sight. You are the righteousness of God. You are a royal priesthood. You are a new creation. God has given you all that you need so you don't miss the mark. And you just need to know it. You just have to. Because if we don't know it, we don't live like it. Actually, a little story this week. I had a lot of fun Tuesday morning. It was the opening day of mule deer archery season. And I went out with a guy from Benji's hockey team, one of the dads, and we found this deer that was really nice. And we flipped a coin, and I won the coin toss. So I got to go after him. And once I knew that I was up, we spent the next couple of hours and literally meticulously tried to make a plan on how I could get in close enough to ethically harvest that deer. And so when you have a bow, you have to be close. And it was blowing like 60 kilometers an hour, so then you have to be really close. And we spent the next long time, and literally every step and everything you did was intentional, because I knew my goal. I knew what I was there to do, and I was very intentional. When we don't know who we are, when we don't know what God is calling us to do, when we don't know what He says about us, or even what's available to us, we tend to just coast through life, and whatever life throws at us, we just go with the waves. And He's saying, no, I've called you to make a difference. I've called you to be a light. You are the light of the world. I've called you to go and make disciples of nations. In Judges chapter 6, there's a story of Gideon. And just to preface this, you know, the Midianites had been attacking Israel and harassing them and stealing from them. And so Gideon is hiding in the basement of a place, okay? Not the picture of the most courageous, big, strong leader. But he's hiding in the basement, and the angel of the Lord shows up and says, starting at verse 12 there, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Gideon wasn't feeling like a mighty hero. He wasn't acting like a mighty hero. And he definitely didn't know that he was a mighty hero. And if you read through, Gideon has this conversation with the Lord, just kind of denying and doubting and thinking, God, you got the wrong guy. Anybody ever felt like when the Lord nudges you to do something or say something, you're like, Lord, you got the wrong person. Try them over there. I think that's them, you mean. Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't say that. Lord, right now in the mall, like right now, you want me to go pray for them? No, that's weird. No, that's probably so-and-so Susie over there that's really spiritual. That's for them. Ever felt like that? Okay. But Gideon is like, hey, if the Lord is with us, where have you been, God? And why has all this happened? And like, who am I? And then towards the end of his little chat with God, the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And it's like my kids when you're asking them to do something. And Gideon replied, but how can I rescue Israel? And here's what I just tweaked at me when I read this story this week. My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. You know, somebody told him that. I really believe that he'd been told over and over and over again, you are from the worst clan, you're the weakest in your entire family, like, look, you're not going to make it, man, like, who are you? You know what I mean? Sometimes living in Saskatchewan, we get that kind of treatment. People say, you guys from Saskatchewan, but I love my province. Sorry, I hear some of you laughing. I was like, yeah, I love my province. I love where we're from. But you ever felt like that where we live? Sometimes people are like, you guys, you're not from central Canada in Toronto. Nobody's following me? Okay. I'll just stop. Gideon didn't know who he was. Gideon didn't know who God called him to be, and Gideon didn't know who God was with him. And I really believe that somebody had told Gideon over and over and over again that you are from the worst tribe, and you're the worst in your family, and he believed it. And it dictated the way he lived, and it dictated the amount of courage or boldness or any of that he lived by. And honestly, you guys, when we don't know who we are completely vulnerable to what other people say about us and what other people say over us and to us. They define us by telling us who we are. And if you haven't realized this is happening in your life, you need to open your eyes because it's happening all the time. You have to be able to run back to your Creator, our Father, and say, God, who do you say I am? Because over and over and over again, whether it's at work, at school, even your spouse, they'll say things, even unintentionally, that hurt, that take root if we're not careful. People will make you feel like you're insignificant, that you're not, you know, they will lie to you and make you feel like you're not worthy of knowing the truth. They'll try and use you. They'll whatever it might be, people will let you down. And of course, the people closest to us can hurt us the most because we trust them. At the end of the day, we need to know whose we are and who we belong to, so that those names don't stick. Listen, have you ever heard the verse that says he cares for you? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you because he made you. And he knows what you're worth. All right, number two, just do it. I stole this from Nike. They won't mind. Okay? Just do it. In John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We are not called to just sit on the good news of Jesus. We're not called to just sit on the good news that we found salvation. We're not called to just hide his love in our little house, in our family, or whatever. We're called to let the world know. And we're called to live like we know it. And we're called to act on the stuff that we know when God says, hey, you're my child, you're my beloved, you're an heir to the throne, you're the righteousness of God, all that stuff. When we know that, we need to act on it by telling other people about how good God is, about what he's done in our life, about how much he loves us and how much he loves them. Amen? A normal Christian life involves seeing God move in us and through us. And we only actually expect to engage with God when we know the stuff we've been talking about, when we know that we're beloved, when we know that we have all of heaven's resources behind us. You'll find that God puts you and I in situations where we have the opportunity to be a light all the time. If you're paying attention, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the bank, when you walk down to the post office, when you interact with people, there'll be moments all the time where you could say, hey, you know, I've experienced that, or I've experienced God do this in my life, or hey, can I pray for you? Or can I help you? Hey, can I carry your groceries? Hey, can I ever notice that? All through the week, there are opportunities to just be a light. And we, of course, have the choice all the time. Do we engage with that, or do we just hold back? Do we love people, or do we just go about our business because we're busy? You know how you grow as a Christian? Just do it. Once you know, you just do. And sometimes it's messy a little bit. Sometimes you make mistakes. It's okay. You keep your heart right. You remind yourself of who you are and who you belong to, and you just do it. It's scary. And take your pick, whether it's serving people, whether it's helping people, whether it's sometimes we pray for people, and nothing happens. And you think, wow, God, you let me down. Just do it. I have to remind myself that all the time. I've always been fascinated with the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines are at war with Israel, and Goliath, their champion warrior, comes out and he taunts them and he mocks God. And he says, he calls God names and he mocks the Israelites. And the Bible says in that story that for 40 days this went on. And insert David not yet King David, but David, little shepherd boy David, who happens to be coming out to bring food and snacks for his brothers. And he hears Goliath mocking God and calling down Israel, and something in him, the light bulb goes off, the switch goes on, whatever you want to say, and he knows that he's there for that moment. And he knows what he needs to do. And he goes and he's asking people, you know, what's the reward and what happens to the person that defeats Goliath? And then King Saul brings him in and says, now here's the thing. If you didn't know who God was, and if you didn't know that God was with you, you would be a fool to go out and go after Goliath. And that's exactly what Saul says. Like, you're crazy. You can't do this. And David says, no, listen. I love the description, you know, I've grabbed lions and bears by the beard and beat them, you know, like when you think about that, like I would grab something like that by the not the sharp end, you know, but it kind of tells you the kind of courage that he has learned to have and the trust that he has in God, that he'll grab them by the face and take them on. And he says, no, I can do this. God is with me. And so David doesn't take the armor. He's never been trained in war, and he doesn't take the sword and the armor and all that stuff. He takes 5 stones for a slingshot and a staff, and he goes out to meet Goliath. And it's the first trash-talking event you've ever seen. I picture, you know, is it MMA or WWE or whatever, you know, where they sit there and trash-talk each other? Well, Goliath is trash-talking David as he's coming. And he's taking every chance he can, again, to just speak into David's identity, like, you are a little punk and you can't do this. You're a dog, blah, blah. And David comes saying, I come in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. And he knows exactly who he is. You following me? Do you notice that even those little details make such a difference in how you live, in the courage you have, the boldness you have, and even the ability to see what God is calling you to do? We need to know who we are. We need to know it, and then we need to do it. And I love the end of this story, and we don't have time to spend a whole bunch of time with it, but so David says, I'm going to kill you, and he does. And he takes his sword, and he chops off his head. And then the entire Israelite army chases the Philistines as they run away, right? Because they know now they're supposed to serve Israel. So they're running. Israel's chasing. David, now this is a little PG-13 or whatever, but it's in the Bible. He takes Goliath's head and chases the Philistines head in hand. Okay? And I was thinking about this, like, why? And then I thought, you know, and if you read the whole thing, he kept his armor, he sent his armor, and he also kept the head. Like, he didn't get rid of that head. He held on that head the whole time. When King Saul calls him back, he's still holding it. And I thought, that's incredible. For one, he was a big guy. He was probably heavy. I know, gross details, but you got to think about what's going on here, like why? And I thought, you know, for 40 days, the Bible says morning and night, Goliath went out there and taunted them. And for 40 days, Israel was terrified. And not a single person would step out and do anything. And David came along and he knew who he was in God. He knew that God was with him. And he stepped out and he did it. And I felt like, you know, he carried that around being like, you guys remember who the God is that you serve. Remember what happens when you follow him. And it was a reminder to everybody, look what happens. And I wonder how many giants in our life would be slain if we would just remind ourselves who God is in us, who God is with us, who we belong to. You know, and I know that sometimes I sound like an annoying gong or, you know, that the whiny whatever when I'm like, hey, tell us your testimony. Hey, tell us what God is doing in your life. Hey, can we record you? You know why? It's because of that right there. Because when you say, when you tell people, Jesus healed me, Jesus protected me in this moment when we were going to crash, Jesus did this, he provided the job, the right job at exactly the right amount of time, or I needed money and this check showed up. Like, I mean, I know hundreds of times all those things have happened in my life, and I know I hear them from your life, but those stories need to go out because that's you standing there going, look what God has done. And people notice when you're holding Goliath's head. It's memorable. And many times, I really believe that we steal sometimes God's glory because we don't tell the story of his goodness in us. We actually rob him. So it's a good time to be putting a plug in. We want to record your testimonies. We want to get the word out because people need to hear what Jesus has done in your life. Oh, we do have an awesome testimony coming of Andy. We got him recorded, and it is a phenomenal story. You need to hear it. But we need more of your stories. Honestly, we owe this community an encounter with God, and one of the ways we do it is by telling them what God has done in your life. Wayne, I don't know if I have time to share something. Wayne shared this story at prayer this week. And he shared a story about a guy in BC who had come on an accident and involved a guy on a motorbike who had been killed. And he ran up and asked to pray for the guy. And when he shared the story and he said he prayed, they let him pray, and the guy's eyes fluttered and he started breathing again. And he only lived for a few more days. Is that right? But Wayne just said like he had a chance for that guy to get his heart right with God. And I thought, you don't do stuff like that unless you believe, unless you just know. Unless you know it. And when you know it, you go for it. Then you just do it. I was at a camp recently, and I remember I was praying in the afternoon about that evening, like, God, what do I do? And I felt like God said, I want you to pray for healing. So the end of the service comes after the sermon and stuff, and I was doing the worship altar call kind of ministry, and I said, hey, I want to pray for healing. And several people put up their hands and needed healing in their bodies. And so we prayed. And then I said, okay, who's feeling better? Not a hand went up. Now you got to understand, I'm growing with this too, and I wrestle with this, but I do know from my past, I know when I say I just know it, I know that God heals. I know it's who he is. I know it's what he does. And so when I feel that nudge, I am willing to go for it. And so I said, I want to pray for healing. I prayed and nothing happened. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? So then we prayed about some other stuff and I said, okay, who's feeling better? Not a thing. So then, see, now the fear starts to creep in because you think, do I just like let this go? Did I just blow it? And I'm like, no, I know that I'm supposed to keep praying. So I prayed again, third time. And I'm feeling really awkward. And you can tell in the room, like, people are like, well, I don't know, but I'm just like, Lord, I'm just going with this. So I asked one more time, anybody feeling any better? Nobody. And I'm thinking, oh man, I blew it. So I went home that night and I wrestled with God. And I'm venting like, God, you told me to pray. And I like nobody responded. And you told me that I was supposed to pray for healing. And I was angry. Like I was frustrated. I was like, that was dumb. Why? And then at the end of the day, like when I prayed about it and wrestled with it, I just had, and I won't say a lot of peace, but I had enough peace to know that I did what I was supposed to do. And I was like, God, I'm leaving it with you. But I'm annoyed. Because it didn't go how I thought it was going to go. And the next morning, I'm having coffee there. And I'm sitting with this couple. And they're like, that was amazing last night. You were praying for healing. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And they're like, yeah, you should see so-and-so over there. They just had their knee replaced not long ago. They've been having all kinds of pain. They couldn't, like, move their knee that much. They knelt down. Their knee is completely better. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh. And so I was like, thank you, Jesus. That didn't go the way I pictured it or I thought. And so I went over and I was able to actually have, interview the guy and talk to him. And his knee was better. And I thought, okay, Lord, you did it your way. And the guy said, at first he was feeling a lot better, but it wasn't completely better. And then overnight, he said he had no pain anymore. So I was like, okay, God, I just have to hear you. I just have to know that you're with me and I have to do it. And then I have to leave it and know that I obeyed and did my part and leave it up to God to do the rest. Sometimes it doesn't look the way we want. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we think it should go. But when we do our part, we obey, and we know who we are. We know who God is with us, what he's calling us to do. We just do it, and we trust him. And he has the best outcome. Amen? Are you guys okay? All right. So the last two we'll do quick. Just know it. Just do it. Just be it. Be a friend. Just be a friend. Just be the child of God that you've been made to be. Just live with the royalty of who you are. Know that you are a child of God. So live like it. Just be that person. Be that person that carries the love of God everywhere you go. Be that person that brings peace to the room. Be that person that's full of God's joy and hope and strength and courage. Just be it. Be there for people. Humble yourself and serve. That's who Jesus was. That's what he did. That's what he calls us to do. Be secure in who you are. Because you're the best at being you. Nobody can be you. God made you the way you are because he loves you just that way. And there's nobody else that can be just you. So just be it. Just be who you are. You look at King Saul, he was always insecure. He struggled his whole life with insecurity and jealousy, and it led him to miss out what God had for him. He chased David around trying to murder him, and it ended in his own demise. Like, we can fall into that trap so easy. Don't compare yourself. Don't look at someone else and wish, oh, I was that. Don't try to be something you're not. Just be it. Just be you. Amen? And the last one, I don't think we'll do the video on you because we're low on time, but you can look up, I think, is it Bob Newhart? I forget. It's one of my favorite little clips, you know. And the last one is, just stop it. Just stop it. And type that into YouTube and you'll see a fun little two-minute counseling video about that. I always joke it's my favorite counseling term. Just stop it. Well, okay. You got time? Okay, listen to it. Listen to it then. It's 2 minutes. You get the point? Just stop it. Stop believing the lies of the enemy. Stop believing that God doesn't want to use you. Stop believing that God wouldn't use you, or that he doesn't love you enough, or that you're not worthy of being loved. Stop believing that he doesn't care about what you're facing today. Stop believing that he is not with you, that he's caring about someone else right now. And just know that he is really good and he really loves you and that he made you to be amazing because you reflect him and he is with you no matter what you walk through, no matter what you're doing. He is with you today. Maybe you need to tell your neighbor again, you're amazing. So I want you to hear this really clear before we close. You do not have to strive. Listen, you don't have to strive. You don't have to earn his love. He loves you. Let's pray. Renee, if you want to come and play. So we're taking communion in a minute. But just before we do, I just want to take a moment. And I want you to just examine your heart this morning. And just simply ask God, is there anything in my life, any lies that I've been believing and any labels that people have put on me that I've allowed to affect the way that I live, affect what I believe, and affect even my marriage or the way I parent my kids or the way I look at work, look at what I could accomplish in life? Are there things there that have been planted, that have been growing, that really don't belong there? They're not what God says about you. And just ask the Holy Spirit, because sometimes they're really subtle, but they lead to fear, they lead to worry, they lead to anxiety, they lead to doubt, they lead to striving, to feeling like you need to earn His grace, you need to earn His favor, or you need to earn His love, and that's just not true. We so quickly get caught up in the trap of comparing ourselves to somebody else. Well, I'm not gifted like them. Well, I can't, whatever, love on people like that. I'm not good at hosting people in my home, or I'm not good at praying for people like so-and-so, and like all these things that, and you know, so many times the Holy Spirit is just planting an idea, a thought of how He wants to use us, how He wants you to grow, and He's throwing this thought or this person in front of you that you could really love on, and fear takes hold. And a lot of times the reason we pull back is either we're afraid of what other people might think or say, or we doubt ourselves because of some label that somebody's put on us, and we've believed. And so, just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything, any attitude, any heart, anything in my heart, anything I've believed, any lie, any stuff that shouldn't be there? And some of us have unfortunately just had people in our life that have been really mean. You've had stuff that you've really had to struggle through. Maybe you've been bullied as a kid, or just had abusive relationships or whatever. Sometimes there's a lot of hard stuff, and that's stuff you got to work with the Lord. If He's bringing that up, spend the time. Get people even to come and pray with you through it that you trust, that can help you. But you need to hear today that God loves you and that you are amazing. And there is nothing that can change that. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be completely forgiven. And there's nothing that's so great that His grace and His mercy can't reach you. It does not matter how hard we've fallen, how dumb of a thing we've done. He loves you. And His mercy and His grace are extended to you today to be free. And I know that sometimes when we say stuff like that, the little voice in our head goes, no, not me. You're way too bad. You've done this and this. No. God really can't forgive that one thing. Yeah, He can. That's what He says. So Jesus, I ask that You would help us, Lord, to give You every single area of our life. Just like my dad spoke about last week with David saying, God created me a clean heart. Looking at Psalm 51, Lord, we ask You created us a clean, pure heart. Lord, that any lie that we've believed or partnered with from the enemy, any label that someone has put on us that we've allowed to grow in our life, Jesus, we surrender it to You. We ask, God, that You would rip out all those lies and really speak the truth. God, that we would know, that we would know, that we would know who we are in You. That we belong to You, that we are citizens of heaven, that we have access because we belong to You, because we're Your kids and You're never going to let us go. Thank You, Jesus, that Your love is unfailing, unconditional. It's pure. We don't have to earn it. We don't deserve it. You just love us. And I thank You for that. And I thank You, God, that You are with us right now. And so I encourage you to open your hands as if you're receiving a gift and just say, Lord, I invite You to come and to fill me today with Your love. I ask for a fresh revelation of how much You love me. And I ask that You would heal me, Lord, of all the scars and the wounds and the pain from my past. And that You'd fill me with boldness and courage to just go and do the stuff. Go and do the works of Jesus, because it's who I am as Your kid. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
And when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said to them, with fervent desire, I have the desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus saying, I have an earnest desire to eat this with you. So come and take the emblems that we may eat together.